Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, I want to say welcome or welcome back to the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We're grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. If it's one of your first times, we hope it's not your last. And we hope that the time together helps you be encouraged and also take a step in relationship towards God. Well, as I share a statement with you, I just want to let you know up front that it's kind of a duh statement. And what I mean by that is when I share the statement, you're going to sit there and think, well, duh, I knew that. And I share that with you because I want you to take it easy on me. So here's the statement. Conversations are a part of life. I know, duh, right? But it gets even more duh because if you think about the conversation patterns in our lives, some of our conversations are good. Some of our conversations are bad. Some of our conversations are embarrassing. Some of our conversations are memorable. And some of our conversations are just conversations. Well, because conversations as a part of life are such a duh part of life, we very often take them for granted and don't fully realize the impact that they have on the quality and direction of our lives. Most research indicates that it takes 5 positive comments to outweigh 1 negative comment, which may speak volumes about the weight that a negative comment can have on our lives. The Gottman Research Institute, which is an organization that looks at a research-based approach to relationship, their research indicates that ratio of 5 positive comments to 1 negative comment isn't the application of the conversations in our lives. In fact, what their study shows is that for every 6 negative comments that we make, we receive or make 1 positive comment. So there's a 6-to-1 negative ratio in the conversations that we have. And you might have experienced this in your life, that has an effect on our lives. There are conversations that we've had with people where we've walked away feeling good about ourselves. And there may even have been a series of conversations that we've had with someone or a group of people where we've walked away and felt like everything we do is good and everything we do is the right thing to do. But if your conversations are anything like my conversations, you've probably experienced the opposite, the 6-to-1 ratio. You've probably experienced conversations with someone where you've walked away not feeling so good about yourself. And you may have even experienced a series of conversations where you've walked away feeling like you can't do anything right. And the reason that we feel like we can't do anything right may very well be the result of this 6-to-1 ratio. Think about this. For every 1 good job on that report, thanks for all that you do. Hey, I just want to let you know that I value you and you're important in my life. For every 1 of those, there are 6. Why couldn't you be more like? What were you thinking when you did this? Why do you always? 6-to-1. And because of that ratio, it's no wonder that people feel as if there are times when they can't do anything right. Imagine if we take this ratio into our work environment, Is it any wonder that studies show that most people are dissatisfied and unhappy in their job? If we take this ratio into our marriage or our parent-child relationships or our friendships, is it any wonder that a significant number of people report not feeling satisfied in their relationships? If we take this ratio into our relationship with God, is it any wonder that many people struggle to gain and hold an accurate view of who God is and what God desires for us? What if there was an app, an application that we can utilize in life that makes a difference in how we view life, how we view ourselves, and maybe even how we view our relationship with God? There's a proverb written by a guy named Solomon in which we discover such an application. Now, a proverb is a short, memorable saying that explains how life generally works. And so, since it's a proverb, there's not usually a lot of written context around it. You just kind of got to spend time on that one proverb. And sometimes there's even a complementary idea within the same proverb. So today we're going to spend our conversation time digging into a half a proverb which was preserved for us, written by Solomon as part of the Old Testament in the Bible, a book known as Proverbs. Solomon was one of the nation of Israel's greatest kings, and he's often considered the second wisest man who ever lived. Sometimes people say that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but personally, I put him second behind Jesus, so there's that. But Solomon recorded this proverb, and here's what he says in this proverb. He says, "Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Whoever, which means this is about anyone. It's about you. It's about me. It's about those around us. It's about those we don't even know yet. This is the principle of life thing. This is how life generally works. This is not exclusively a follower of Jesus thing. This is not exclusively a church people thing. When Solomon says, "Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed," what he's telling us is that those who encourage others will find themselves encouraged. And right off the bat, there's a little bit of a tension here. Now, I don't think really any of us would argue that people need encouragement. I don't think any of us would argue that everyone needs encouragement. But sometimes encouragement is something that we see as a good idea and probably don't do, or at least don't do as much as we should, even though we realize that it's an incredibly important need that people have. In fact, Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, used to say that he had a universal indicator for whether or not people needed encouragement. The universal indicator? Breathing. Yeah, Truett Cathy said that if you're breathing, you need encouragement. And sometimes we simply don't do it as often as we should. There are times where we actually do a good job of encouraging. And those times are usually after people have stopped breathing. We do a really good job of encouragement at funerals. But what if encouragement became the framework for our conversations? Not waiting until after someone's done breathing. But what if we adopted the framework of this phrase? Don't wait to give people roses of encouragement at their funeral. Give them roses of encouragement while it is still called today. Encouragement is an urgent need not just a general need. It is a need now need, not a need later need. Actually, it's probably a need now and later kind of thing because of the power that it has in our lives. But if encouragement is a needed now and later as much as a need in general thing, what is encouragement? Encouragement is often considered to be saying positive or nice things about or to people. And while that's important, the kind of encouragement that Solomon writes about, a refreshing kind of encouragement, goes beyond that. The New Testament part of the Bible was originally written in the Greek language. And the Greek word that's used for encourage literally means to provide support or confidence, to strengthen or develop. The indication of the word for encouragement in the Greek is that when we encourage others, we come alongside of one another to provide support and confidence, to strengthen and develop others to become the type of people that God intends and desires for us to become. And it's here that we may bump into another tension. That there are some people who are just trying to hold it together in life. They're the ones who, as much as they need to encourage others, they feel like they need encouragement. They're just hanging on and trying to hold it together. And there are some people who aren't even so sure about the God thing for themselves, let alone coming alongside someone else to help them to become who God desires for them to be. It's a tension, because when we lag in encouragement, it becomes almost a vicious cycle where we don't feel good enough about ourselves to encourage others, and others don't feel good about themselves to encourage us, so nobody feels good enough about themselves to encourage one another, and the lack of encouragement results in a life of discouragement. But this is where the wisdom in this proverb written by Solomon is so brilliant. Solomon says, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed, which means we don't have to wait. We can go first. We can offer encouragement to others. And when we offer encouragement to others, we will find ourselves more encouraged. It's almost like encouragement becomes a win-win thing in life. It's something that's better for those around me, and it's better for me. And all of a sudden, my life is better, and I'm better at life because of the encouragement that I provide to others, which in turn encourages me. It's an absolutely amazing thing. But there's another tension found in this encouragement application. And that is that very often we view encouragement as a horizontal relationship thing only. It's an application that we need to implement or apply in relationship with other people. And when we do that, we overlook the vertical application that encouragement has in our lives and how it impacts our relationship with God. You see, when we lag in encouragement, it's easy to feel as though I have no value and that I have no worth. And though it's true that sometimes a season of discouragement will cause us to lean into God, because sometimes when there's nothing left but God is when we discover that God is enough, The seasons of discouragement have also caused people to disconnect from relationship with God. Because when we feel unloved, and we feel unworthy, and we feel as though we can never do anything right, it's easy to draw the conclusion that God would want nothing to do with me. It's easy to overlook the reality that God loves me just as I am, but too much to leave me that way. It's easy to not fully realize or embrace that God loves me when I'm discouraged, but wants me to be encouraged. And so, encouragement becomes an incredibly important application. It is an application that impacts the quality and direction of our lives in ways that we may not even realize or imagine. So as we wrap things up in this part of the Life App series, let me encourage you, or maybe challenge you, with a specific implementation of this principle that Solomon wrote about so many thousands of years ago. This week, change the ratio. Be intentional about changing the ratio of the negative to positive. If you can, change it from 6 to 1 in the negative to 6 to 1 in the positive. But be intentional about genuinely pouring doses of encouragement into the lives of those around you. Don't give false platitudes. Don't say things that aren't true. Don't say things that you don't mean. But genuinely pour into their life to refresh them and see what happens in your own life. Say things to people like, I'm so glad that you're my son. I am so incredibly proud of you, and I believe in you. Say, thanks for being my daughter. You are beautiful inside and out, and you blow my world away when we get to be together. Thank you for being my wife. The way you care for our family is inspiring. Thank you for being my friend. You add value to my life. Thank you for taking my food order. What you do is important. And I just hope you're having a great day today. From those in our closest circle, to those that we may meet only once in a lifetime, every interaction is an opportunity for encouragement. And we may never know how our dose of encouragement impacts the quality and direction of their life, even if just for a moment. And we may never know how our dose of encouragement motivates or prompts them or moves them to take a step towards right relationship with God, or maybe even see God in a different way, because we have refreshed them and in turn we have been refreshed. So who needs it? We all need it. Who needs encouragement? I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And every individual around us needs encouragement. So this week, change the ratio. Be an encourager and be encouraged. Let me pray for our time together, and then we'll be done for today. Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for each and every person who is connected with this message in the Life App series and this time together. Thank you for the wisdom of a guy like Solomon who could speak into a negative to positive ratio in our lives today that impacts the quality and direction of our lives sometimes more than we even imagine. Thank you for words that tell us whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And this week, help us to change the ratio from more negative to more positive. And help us to see the influence and impact of that in our lives and those around us and even in our relationship with you. Help us this week to see every interaction as an opportunity to encourage someone. And then help us make encouragement a consistent, ongoing pattern of application in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks again for connecting with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Again, we hope this isn't your last time, and we hope that you'll join us again next time for the next part of the Life Application Series.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.